This afternoon we will be studying together John chapter 8, verse 31, all the way through to verse 36. Let us read together. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this afternoon we will be discussing together what is the meaning of knowing the truth. Now, these particular verses are crucial for each and every one of God's children, especially once they are born again of the Spirit of God. Now, we must comprehend that the whole gospel of Jesus Christ is not something that is simple for us to learn within a day or two. It is the whole life of Christ that is given to us is the same or is equivalent like the whole life that we have on earth. Now, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ could be equated with, let me give you a brief example, studying calculus in the university. In order to study calculus, you first have to study the basic math, right? The basic arithmetic first. 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. And then you study multiplications and, of course, pre-algebra and algebra and so on, right? To be able to study the complex subject of math called calculus. It is not possible for any one of the little babies, or children for that matter, if you have a baby, they're just newborn, or you have maybe 2-3 years old toddler, and all of a sudden you decided you want to put them to study calculus. And if you come to think of it, that is ridiculous, isn't it? Because they're just babies. Likewise, you cannot even put somebody who have not learned basic math to study calculus. That's way, way up there, isn't it? So the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same way. It is like calculus. For us to be able to comprehend the truth of the word of the Lord, we must comprehend the basic fundamental truth first, and then climb the ladder of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, from basic arithmetic, right, all the way to multiplications and all the way up to algebra. Right? So, our Lord God imparts this truth in the whole gospel. The whole Bible is filled with the truth of the Word of God. And the truth can only be learned as we grow in the Spirit. In other words, if you're not born again, you don't need and don't try to attempt the truth because you can never comprehend the truth. You can have a lot of head knowledge, but you still would not comprehend the truth. Now, it takes the life of Jesus, in other words, it takes the Holy Spirit to indwell in God's children in order for us to begin walking with the Holy Spirit and born again of the Spirit of God, like a baby, begin to drink milk and begin to grow. You cannot say, well, you know what, I've decided to feed my baby that is barely newborn with lots of food, so that within a year or two, they would become a 25 years old adult. Does it make sense to you? Not at all. You would say that is ridiculous. That's not going to happen. That is correct. Likewise, being born again, children of God, is not the end of the journey. It's just being a baby. You see, baby needs milk. And the Apostle Peter tells us, let me read this verse for you in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that ye may grow thereby. So spiritual life is very similar to physical life on earth. You have to grow from a baby, and as you feed that baby and you keep that baby healthy by giving good food and preventing to be injured or being burned, you know, you keep that baby growing up and just keep on feeding with good, healthy, nutritious food. In time, the hormone and the law of life in that baby will make that baby begin to grow and become a toddler, right? And before long, the baby will become a child, right? Growing up children, and before long, a teen, and of course, young adults, and then adults, and so on. Likewise, the truth of the Word of God is the same thing. Jesus said, verse 31, then said Jesus to those which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, there are three things I want to dissect this particular verse. First of all, you must be a genuine believer, born of the Spirit of God. If you are not a genuine believer, you are just coming to church because you think you are a believer on the surface. That's not going to apply. You need to receive first the Holy Spirit into your heart. And of course, you need to confess and repent of your sins and cry to God for mercy, trusting in the precious blood of Jesus and his death on the Calvary as the full payment of a sin debt, right? And then, as you cry and confess your sins by faith, trusting in the Word of God that Jesus died for us, and automatically, thereafter, the Holy Spirit will come through in your heart and you will experience peace. Once you're born again of the Spirit of God, then you must continue reading His words on a daily basis. It's just like eating food. You'd be very surprised how many people, even though they are born again, they are not instructed by the preachers or the pastors to read the Word of God. I've asked many churches, especially among brothers and sisters, as I preach in different churches, as I'm an evangelist. Whenever I ask them the question, how many of you read your Bible every day? You will see only 3-4 hands up. That tells you that many, many Christians are not reading the Word of God. Now let me ask you a question. Do you eat your food once a week? Do you eat your food once a month? Or do you eat your food every day? Well, of course, we know the answer. We eat our food 3 times a day, right? Minimum of twice. Likewise, the Word of God applies to our spiritual health and our spiritual makeup. So if you eat for your physical health and a physical body, minimum of twice a day, then you must read at least once in the morning, your heavy meal, and then do at least 1-2 times. By memorizing the scripture, I would encourage you to remember the promises of the Word of God. Doesn't make any difference how much it is, just maybe 1 or 2 verses in the afternoon and at night. Okay? But you must feed yourself with the Word of God and His promises. Those are crucial. In order for you to be able to grow just like a little baby, if you only feed that baby only once a day, it's going to be growing slower and, of course, becoming not as healthy compared to a baby that is well-fed, isn't it? And as a mother or as a father, we could not feed that baby, but at least 3 times or more sometimes, right, if the baby needs it. So it is very important. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, number one, you must be a genuine believer, okay? You must be born again of the Spirit of God. Now, a genuine believer is defined by the Amplified Bible. Believing means trusting Jesus. Believing means clinging to Jesus. And believing it means relying on him. Okay? That's a genuine definition of believing in Jesus. Now, if you just think in your head that believing in Jesus is just going to church and have a quick service and then have just a quick communion and just be baptized, then I can tell you one thing. You probably are not a genuine believer yet, because churchianity has got nothing to do with genuine believing in Jesus. You could be in church week after week, year after year, and for years, and not necessarily be born again of the Spirit of God. So mark that. And please listen to the sermon of what is to be born again of the Spirit of God. Now, once you're born again of the Spirit of God, you must continue in His words. Now, the word continue in the Amplified Bible means the original text, means live according. You act out according to His words. So number one, you must read the Word of God. Number two, you must act upon the Word of God. If you merely read and not act it out, you will end up what we call as a Pharisee. Pharisee has a lot of head knowledge, but they have never lifted their one little finger. In other words, they would not act it out. Now, what's going to happen if you don't act out? Then, of course, our Lord Jesus tells us it's like a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And we know that story, right? When the rain comes down, the flood came up, and great was the crash of that house. In other words, down the journey, you see, as a born-again believer, we must continue to grow and grow. And of course, our ultimate destinations at the end of our life, we must be ready to look like Jesus. That's what Romans 8:28-29 tells us. Let me read Romans 8:28-29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the first among many brethren. So, once you're born again of the Spirit of God, you've just entered the entrance of the narrow path. It is not the end of it, my dearly beloved. It is just the beginning. There is a long journey until you reach at the end of the narrow path of the cross. And at the end of it, our Lord God wants us to look like the bride of Christ, just exactly like Jesus. Perhaps you would say, what do you mean just exactly like Jesus? That means you must be filled by the Holy Spirit, and you must bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is written in Galatians 5:22. I shall read this verse for you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-sufferings, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, these are the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, my dearly beloved. No human flesh can perform the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. A lot of Christians, even though born again, they misunderstand the meaning of abiding in Christ. You see, being born again of the Spirit of God, God has given us the Holy Spirit to transform us according to the truth of the Word of God. And as we grow under the pruning knives of John 15, we must begin to bloom each and every one of the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit as long as we abide in Him and uplift the Holy Spirit and continue buying oil of the 5 wise virgins. Okay? And if you try to do it on your own flesh, you know what's going to happen? You feel very exhausted. You feel it is impossible. Of course it's impossible. Because Romans 7 already tells us that there is nothing good in the flesh. So keep that deeply imprinted in your heart. The flesh has nothing good at all. It is a fallen nature. It is under sin. We can only produce sinful characters, sinful nature. That's our nature. It is not possible for us to produce the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. That is for God to produce, not for flesh, especially the fallen sinful nature. To produce it is impossible. The Apostle Paul said that over and over again in Romans 7. I've discovered that in my body, the Apostle Paul says, the things that I should be doing, I end up not doing it. And the things that I should not be doing it, I end up doing it. I am under such a frustration. What is that called? The Apostle Paul discovered that there's called the law of sin. I've been enslaved by this power that controls me. You see, all of that is written in Romans 7. And the Apostle Paul says, it's not that I'm not willing to do it. I'm willing, but I don't have the power to carry it out. That's how the Amplified Bible explained what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7. You see, for that reason, my dearly beloved, these are truth. And there are many, many truths in the scripture that you need to begin to inscribe in your spirit, in your heart. And how do you inscribe them? Slowly but surely, according to the truth of the word of God. It's just like studying math. You have to learn the basic math first, arithmetic, all the way multiplication, all the way to pre-algebra and algebra, and then, of course, the calculus. It is not possible for you to jump straight to calculus without studying the fundamental things, isn't it? Likewise, the Word of God are many, many sections. They're different paths, and you have to climb up letter of truth after letter of truth. And those truths can never be unveiled by the head knowledge. You can go to school for it. You can go to theological seminary and try to dissect that, like I told you before, like a baby. You cannot overfeed that baby, you get sick. And as a result, instead of growing up, you get sick, right? If you overfeed the baby. Likewise, the Word of God, we can only take a step at a time. You have to allow the Holy Spirit, the law of life, to take over our body. You see, for that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us, obey the Holy Spirit. Do not negate the Holy Spirit. You see, how do we negate the Holy Spirit? When we walk in sin and when we walk in the flesh, you see. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. You see, because the flesh and the Spirit, they're contrary one against the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So it is very important. That's another truth. We must walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Then you said, wait a minute. How do I know when I'm walking in my flesh? A very good detector is what I've just read earlier. You see, the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit are written for us to know and detect whether we are abiding in Christ or outside of Christ. Let's assume you draw 2 boxes. One box says abiding in Christ, and the other box says abiding outside of Christ. If you abide in Christ, you're abiding in truth. And if you're abiding outside of Christ, you're abiding in lies. And if you're abiding in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in charge of your whole body and mind. And if you're abiding outside of Christ, the devil is in charge of your body and mind, and you're walking in the flesh. You see? The 2 different boxes? One box is abiding in Christ. Once you abide in Christ, you will bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And the other box is abiding outside of Christ, which means you will bear the fruits of your flesh. Is that kind of clear? Let me explain this again. In the box, one box is abiding in Christ. And if you abide in Christ, Jesus Christ is in control of you. The Holy Spirit will take charge of your mouth, your heart, and your mind. Okay? And whatever you pray, as long as you abide in Him, will be answered. If, on the other hand, you abide outside of Christ, you abide in the square box that says abiding outside of Christ. That means you're walking in your flesh. That means Satan is in charge of your whole body and your whole mindset. And of course, in that scenario, since you are abiding outside of Christ, your prayers will not be answered. Okay? Because you're walking in sin. Then you say, how do I know then whether I'm abiding in Christ? Well, the Word of God tells us, Jesus said, apart from me, ye can do nothing. And if you abide in me, and of course, my word stays in your heart, ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. Right? That's what I've just said. If you abide in Christ, whatever you ask for, as long as you remember his words, his promises, then go ahead and ask. It shall be given unto you. Of course, whatever you ask must be screened through by the four laws of grace that I mentioned in the other preaching sessions. The four laws of grace include, as the Apostle Paul says, I could do everything as long as it glorifies God. I could do everything as long as it edifies me, spiritually and physically, of course. And I could do everything as long as it benefits somebody else. And I could do everything as long as I'm not enslaved by it. Now, within that four conditions, you can do and ask anything. Anything. Put through that four laws of grace that will screen through everything you can ask for before the throne of grace, incidentally. Now next, another very important truth is when you abide in Christ Jesus, in the canopy, in the square box that says abide in Christ, you will bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the mark of Christ. Let me repeat. The fruits of the Holy Spirit include love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Perhaps you say, well, I can't remember nine of them. Well, I encourage you to memorize these nine because it is very crucial, you know. But let's assume you can't remember nine of them. Let's just pick up two. One is called peace and one is called faith. If you lose your faith and you are under fear, you are not abiding in Christ Jesus. Is that kind of clear? If you are feeling nervous, if Satan hits you with some line of thought and you took to that and say, you know what, I'm feeling fearful, you know. I'm afraid of my job. I'm afraid of my finances. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. My dearly beloved, you are not abiding in Christ because you know why? You've just lost your faith. Faith is opposite of fear. Okay? So if you have fear, then you are not abiding in Christ. You're outside of Christ. That's called fear. It's the fruit of the flesh. You see, it's not difficult to detect. So now you lost your faith. What do you do? Well, you better remember the word of God. Jesus said, apart from me, ye can do nothing. So God says, I better come back in the canopy of abiding in Christ and confess that sin. Oh, Father, please forgive me, for I have fear in my heart. I'm abiding under lies instead of truth, you see. Satan is the father of lies. He lies all the time. That's his business. That's his nature. So he sends us many, many lies and subjugate us. So what happened? We took to the lies. That's how we control each and every one of the human being that is under the fallen man. You see? So now you have to confess that fear and acknowledge truth by abiding in him, by remembering the word of God. And by, of course, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit must continuously indwell in our heart. For that reason, Jesus tells us, if ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, my dearly beloved, the word of God is absolutely true. The word of Jesus is so powerful that it is a light. When you feel very depressed, that is Satan filled, I challenge you to come before the throne of grace and confess your sins. Ask the Holy Spirit to shine in your heart. Holy Spirit, show me where I've sinned against you. And of course, you know, depression, confess that. And before long, you read the word of God, you discover the truth in the word of God. You feel so comfortable in your heart, so peaceful, because the word of God is alive. You see, the word of God is truth, and Satan is extremely afraid of the word of God. For that reason, you must remember and memorize the word of God. I tell you a real story, a real testimony, which I've shared the other day. It so happened that my husband came back from his office, and of course, he's filled with the molestation of lies in his head and his mind, and of course, stress gets in his body. And that stress, which is demonic, is infectious. And all of a sudden, I discovered my whole house is full of stress. And myself is also under stress, right? So I decided I wanted to leave the house, just get up from the stressful house, even though I've got a beautiful home. I'm so stressful, my head, I have so much headache in my head, I can't withstand this house anymore. So along the way, I began to confront my husband, and my husband got mad. Of course, we got into some sort of an argument. Believe it or not, my dearly beloved, the Lord God of ours is absolutely lovely and living. All of a sudden, I began to preach the word of God, quoting the scripture and standing up as if I was preaching to you right now. As I began to preach the word of God, all of a sudden, believe it or not, the headache that I had, the stress was gone. Gone. Wait a minute. I said, my headache is gone. My stress is gone. What have I just done? I've just preached the word of God that is absolute truth, you see. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that Satan by nature is a liar and he cannot indwell in truth. And the word of God is truth. Believe it or not, just reading the word of God alone will make Satan flee far away. You see? And if we apply that truth to us, oh, it would be absolute health to our spiritual life. We are living in truth. And the moment I discovered that I have no longer headache, dearly beloved, no longer having headache in my head means I'm set free. Ever since then, I value every single word of the word of God and began to memorize as much as I can. And I would like to encourage you to do the same. Now, going back to what Satan is all about, the word of God tells us, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John 8:44. Let me read this verse for you. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. My dearly beloved, that square box next to the square box that says abiding in Christ, the other one says abiding outside of Christ, is controlled by the devil. So if you manifest, instead of the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, you manifest opposite of that, then you know that you are abiding outside of Christ. For that reason, as a born-again believer, you must do the lie detector test by checking with the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit in your heart daily. For example, the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is called love. Do you have love in your heart at this point of time, or do you have hatred in your heart? Are you angry? You see? So if you are not having love in your heart and you have hatred and anger, then of course you're abiding outside of Christ, and that is called the fruit of the flesh, and of course they are sin. Hatred and anger are sins. The next word, joy. See, the fruits of the Holy Spirit is love and joy. Do you have joy in your heart right now? Or are you stressing? Are you having depressions? Are you having sadness? See, joy is the next fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have joy, then you're abiding outside of Christ, my dearly beloved. If your heart is filled with stress, depression, sadness, confess and repent of those sins quickly and abide in Christ by running back into the truth of the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, apart from those, if there is any other sins, and confess those sins until you experience joy and peace. And of course, the next fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. So if your heart is filled with turmoil, confusions, anger, all kinds of emotion that is the opposite of peace, then you again abiding outside of Christ. And you need to remove those sins in your heart and ask the Lord God to wash it clean by his precious blood, and quickly return by abiding in Christ Jesus and experience peace. Likewise, long sufferings means lots of patience. How many of us do not have patience? Believe it or not, my dearly beloved, patience are the fundamental element of fruit bearing. Our Lord Jesus tells us, we must bear fruit steadfastly with patience. That's the fourth ground. If you don't have patience, you're not going to be able to bear the rest of it. You see, love requires patience. Joy requires patience. And peace also requires patience. And of course, we have faith also requires patience, you see. The moment you're impatient, you lose it. You lose faith. So the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, if you lose one, you lose the rest of it. It's a package deal. Either you get a package A, which means abiding in Christ, or package B, which means abiding outside of Christ. And if you abide outside of Christ, then of course it is dangerous. Satan is in charge of you. You could be born again of the Spirit of God, but he binds you, you see. Truth sets you free, while error and sins binds you. Now, my dearly beloved, it is extremely important for us to put a special note on the Word of God. As we learn like math, 2 plus 2 equals 4, 4 plus 4 equals 8, and of course we learn multiplications. So every one of these truths of the Word of God is a section of a lower math, right? To be able to climb up that ladder and learning before long, apart from basic arithmetic, maybe up multiplication, algebra, and of course pre-algebra, and then algebra, and of course calculus. So every one of these words that I've shared with you are like that. They are basic arithmetic, and then of course multiplications and so on. So these are like jigsaw puzzle pieces. You have to put those pieces together before you can see the whole picture, you see. The Word of God is the same thing. We have to take one section at a time, chew it at a time, and you have to walk according to it. Then you'll experience it. But I can guarantee you, if you follow my formula of abiding in Christ and the lie detector by having the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit tested daily in your life, you will discover whether you're abiding in Him or abiding outside of Christ. I hope and pray that this is kind of clear. So every day, the main purpose that our Lord God has given us lies in John chapter 15, verse 16. You see, the main purpose that our Lord God have chosen us is not to walk in our flesh. Rather, it's the opposite. It's to be fruitful, walking in the Spirit. Let me read John 15, 16 to you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordain you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You see, the main purpose of our daily journey, and of course our yearly journey, and ultimately the end of the whole journey, is to look like Jesus. And to be able to look like Jesus, we must continue fruit bearing. For that reason, John 15, 16, Jesus tells us, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. For what purpose? That ye should go and bring forth fruit. So it is extremely crucial for God's children to bear fruit constantly. The fruit of joy, the fruit of love, the fruit of patience, the fruit of faith. You see, we have to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, the Apostle Paul says. So all the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit must be richly born through each and every one of God's children, and of course his sheep and his bride. If you do not manifest the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit in the short run, in terms of a short, brief period of time, you can get away with it. However, if you continue that in the long term or in the long run, it's going to take toll on you. And you will become that dried up branch of John 15. In other words, if you refuse to bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit simply because either you don't have the truth, or you refuse to live according to the word of Jesus, then ultimately it will take toll in your spiritual life. And what happened, instead of the Holy Spirit begin to fill in your heart, you will experience the power of darkness controlling you. Okay? Now, another truth is every single power of darkness lies in sin. and vice versa. Every single sense contain or consist the power of darkness. So in other words, every single fruit of the flesh, such as hatred, anger, lies, deceit, craftiness, pride, every one of those sins contain one demon. Perhaps you would say, wait a minute, where does it say that? Well, let me put it this way. Once we have sinned and fallen in the law of sin, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The Apostle John says that. Okay? We are living in the world of lies. The Word of God tells us God is absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The meaning of truth is 100% absolute truth. If you have 99% truth and you have combo with 1% lies, it is still called lies. Okay? You can have 99% truth, just 0.0001 lies, it is still considered a lie. Because God is absolutely holy, and God is an absolute truth, and Satan, however, is the opposite. He is a father of lies, and he would love to mix for you mostly truth and a little bit of lies inside, isn't it? That's why we all falter in his trap. If only he makes an absolute lie, that's kind of crystal clear. That's easier for us to say no. But if it is mostly truth, and perhaps just a certain portion of lies, then we took to it, isn't it? We've been bait and fallen into his trap because we are not alert. We don't know the truth. You see, that's exactly what Satan does. He's a father of lies. And wherever we go, believe it or not, you turn your head, take a look at the news. Take a look at the newspaper, the internet. Full of lies. And the world, advertisement out there. You know, you buy this product and it makes you look younger. Is that truth? Not at all. Either you get this and it'll make you rich. Is that truth? Not at all. So if you analyze every single message we turn our head left and right, I can pretty much guarantee you they're pretty much lies. Until unless we stick to the Word of God and compare it side by side, you will not discover the lies of Satan. Now, I have another personal testimony to share with you, which I did share the other day. How do I know whether every single thing of the flesh belongs to Satan? One day I was invited in a church, and a young man was filled with Lucifer, and a pastor invited me to cast out the power of darkness from his body. Believe it or not, this young man is a very, very sad scenario. As I told him to confess his sins, at first he refused because he was trying to cover things up. Believe it or not, craftiness and pretentiousness is another sin, which is also the work of Satan. So nonetheless, when he followed my way of confessing sins, each and every one of his sins, in the name of Jesus, when we finalized it, he started throwing up. Then I knew that he was not genuine before, because he was pretending. Thereafter, I discovered when we finished that prayer in the name of Jesus, he started throwing up. When he threw up, then I said, wait a minute, we need to reconfess those sins over again. My dearly beloved, this is the first time the Lord God has unveiled my eyes to behold each sin has one demon. So this young man threw up as he confessed one sin of doubt. He threw up from his throat down to the trash can. And he confessed the next one, anger, as he confessed the sin, and he threw up another one. As he confessed another one, he threw up another one. So all of that reveals to me that every single sin has got the power of darkness attached to it. At one point, the other pastor that accompanied me to pray and confessed and helped this young man to be cast out from the power of darkness, he even demanded, because as he confessed one sin, for example, a sin of hatred, the demon is so nasty that the demon refused to be thrown out from his mouth and got stuck in his throat. So he had to demand the demon to the lake of fire before the demon spits out from his mouth out of fear. You see? So my dearly beloved, this is a real story, and I've seen it with my own eyes. One sin has one demon. A smoking sin has got a smoking demon, while a drinking sin has got a drinking demon, and so on. So the word of God tells us, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So once I've discovered this truth from the word of God, I've just discovered what our Lord says. He is a father of lies, and there is no truth in him. So every single sin is under the square box, just as I mentioned earlier, of abiding outside of Christ, and Satan is in charge of it. Now, verse 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And verse 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Believe it or not, my dearly beloved, how many of us, even though born again of the Spirit of God, are still committing sin from day to day? Be very honest with me. How many of us get angry, get upset, and get fearful all the time? Right? Let's just pick one sin. Let's just pick on fear. Now, fear can run from being worried about something, stress, nervousness, edgy, anxiety. Those are all forms of fear. Now, I want you to check within your heart right now. Do you have any sort of fear in your heart, even though you are born again of the Spirit of God? Oh, I'm afraid tomorrow my business is bad. I don't have any income. Do you have that kind of thought, line of thought in your head? I'm afraid I might lose my job because the economy says so. Do you have that kind of thought in your head? I'm afraid God does not love me. I'm afraid He would never answer my prayer. I'm afraid I will lose my house tomorrow. There are so many kinds of fear. And even though you are born again of the Spirit of God, I can guarantee you that you're still abiding outside of Christ. Because you know why? You're still babies. You see? And you lack truth. And believe it or not, when you manifest all of this fear, look into your heart. Just check it through. Do you behave that way? Once you have fear, you don't have any faith left. And if you don't have any faith, what is there to abide in Christ? You see? The Apostle Paul tells us, anything that is not of faith is sin. Let me ask you a question. Do you have faith? I pray you would have faith. Wonderful. Right? But many, many times when our problems comes through, when our environment comes through, the first thing we do is not to focus on God's word. We forgot about God's promises. We look left, right, we look at the back, and what happened? Our flesh responded. When our flesh responded, as we walk in the flesh, our faith plummet down and our heart get to be very fearful. For that reason, the word of God tells us in Joshua chapter 1, don't turn your head to the left, to the right, to the back, nowhere. Just focus onto the word of God. Simply because God knows our nature. We cannot beat the power of darkness in our flesh, my dearly beloved. It is not possible. The devil is a supernatural power. We are but flesh. And what makes it even sadder is many, many born-again Christians are still committing sins in some other set area, like pornography, believe it or not. It's very sad to discover that even pastors commit that sin, watching pornography. And sometimes verbal abuse, negativity. You see, there are many, many kinds of sin that we are enslaved under. And I want to read you 64 lists of sins that I usually would accompany a sinner to confess before they accept Christ Jesus. I want to read for you this 64 list of sins, and you check. cross-check with the 64 sins, how many sins of the 64 you committed. Okay? You could be born again of the Spirit of God and not aware of this sins. Now, I'm going to read it for you so that you know. And you'd be surprised that these are sins. Number one, pride. We've got physical pride. You look beautiful. You're prideful. Right? Material pride. I'm rich. Therefore, I'm prideful. Spiritual pride. Oh, you know, I go to seminaries. I study a lot. I know more than you do. That's called spiritual pride and self-righteousness. I think I'm right. You're wrong. That's another pride. Number two, anger. Well, that's a very common sin, isn't it? Anger. Number three, hatred, murder, vengeance, wishing others evil. Number four, lie. Number five, dishonesty. Number six, stealing. Number seven, worship of money or mammon. Number eight, worship of idols, superstitions, witchcraft, and religion. Worship without the Holy Spirit is called religion. You see, you can go to church, and as long as there's no Holy Spirit in your heart, you are performing religion. Or you could be doing something that the Holy Spirit didn't approve. That's another religion, right? Especially in the church I'm talking about. Number nine, possessions of items related to superstitions, witchcraft, false gods, such as zodiac, palm reading. Do you like to do palm reading and zodiac and believe in those lies of Satan? Number 10, fornications, adultery, sexual vices, sexual abuse, and of course, it could also be done in the mind. You don't have to physically go to bed with somebody to commit fornication, you know. You could just do it in your head, just like our Lord Jesus said, if you look at a woman and committed fornication in your mind, that's good enough. That's a sin of fornication. Watching pornography. Number 12, fear, nervousness, cowardice. Number 13, selfishness, thoughtlessness. Number 14, craftiness. Number 15, impatience. Number 16, gossip. How many people like to talk behind somebody else's back? You see? Number 17, foolishness, callousness, recklessness. Number 18, depressions, suicide thought. Number 19, unbelief in Jesus or God's word or doubt. How many of you, even though you're born again of the Spirit of God, you allow the spirit of doubt to come through? You see? A lot of Christians allow that to happen. That doubt itself is a spirit. The power of darkness in the doubt. Number 20, evil mouth. Filthy mouth. Bad words coming out of your lips. And of course, crude, dirty jokes. See, some people like to say dirty jokes. 21, evil thought. Negative thought. Fearful thought. 22, hypocrisy. 23, boastfulness. 24, false accusations. 25, ingratitude. 26, smoking. 27, drinking. 28, gambling. 29, laziness, slothfulness, procrastination, dragging of time. 30, stubbornness. 31, stinginess. 32, confusion, emotional entanglement. 33, jealousy, envy of others. 34, irresponsibility. 35, quarrel. 36, physical fighting, physically, emotionally harming others. 37, physical abuse, verbal abuse. 38, self-pity. 39, unmerciful heart. 40, act of cruelty. 41, truce breakers, do not keep promises. 42, lust of the flesh. Excess craving for food and sleep, etc. for no reason. 43, lust of the eyes, watching unhealthy movies, books, internet, video games, etc. 44, control power by oneself instead of trusting God. How many of us like to do that? I think I want to do this. I think I could do that without even resorting on our knees and asking God for mercy, for direction, for grace. Lord, what shall we do? No. No prayer. Just do it. 45, squandering time and money. 46, not honoring parents. 47, ferociousness. 48, lack of self-control. 49, unfairness, biasness. 50, borrowing things without returning them. 51. Singing and listening to unhealthy worldly song and music such as rock and pop, heavy metal, etc. Believe it or not, it is very sad to discover not only the unbelievers listen to that kind of rock, heavy metal, really unhealthy music, even bad to the ears. Many born-again Christians are practicing the same thing. 52. Meditation and yoga. Every meditation has got the power of darkness. I remember at one time when I was helping a young man to come to Christ, he was shivering as he confessed all of the sins. And I asked him, I said, "Raymond, what is wrong?" He said, "I am shaking, Rosie." And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks through my lips and say, "Raymond, do you do meditation?" And he said, "Yes." So when he confessed that sin, the demon from his head will begin to leave down through his body, down to the feet, and it was gone. My dearly beloved, meditation without Christ Jesus. I'm talking about outside of Christ, where you empty your body for no reason. The devil is inside that body. We cannot afford to do meditations other than in the Word of God. 53. Destructions of physical body. There are tons of people that do cosmetic surgery for no reason, for beauty only. Tattoos, just destroying the body. 54. Drug addicts. 55. Going to a fortune teller or magicians that involves tarot, black magic, and so on. And 56. Abortion. 57. Cheating. 58. Worship of religion, whether it's Catholic, Buddhist, Muslim, whatnot. And 59. Insecurity. There are many, many people out there are very insecure because Christ Jesus is not in their heart. Number 60, indecisiveness. 61, loneliness. 62, spirit of running around, continuously going out to shop for no reason. 63, disappointment. 64, looking in the past with regret. My dearly beloved, there are many more sins to go, but these are basic 64 sins that I've listed for you to cross-check on, for you to repent and confess your sins, so that the truth of the Word of God, so that the Holy Spirit can live in the heart, washed by the precious blood of Jesus when you confess the sins, and the Holy Spirit is able to fill your heart instead of lies of sins and, of course, power of darkness. You see, when you have all of the sins, and if you refuse to confess and admit them, then you are not going to be transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. Perhaps some pastors would say, "Well, you don't have to confess all of it in detail. Just one sentence." My dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father is a God of absolute truth and absolute detail. If you look in all of his creations, just what Jesus said, even our head, our hairs that grow on our head are all numbered. Do you know that? That tells you that our Lord God is a God of absolute detail. Have you tried to number your hair? If our Lord God numbered our hair, do you not think that being wishy-washy, not confessing individual sins, would matter to him? Number one, when you confess your sins, you rectify your sin debt. Number two, when you rectify your sin debt, then you know how to pay them, right? In other words, if you go to a bank and you loan money, even the bank accounting system would not let you say, "Well, I owe money. How much? I don't know. I just owe money." No, the bank would say, "Wait a minute. Tell me how much you like to pay, because here, the bank has a list of transactions and says, this date you borrow so much," and so on. We know that. If the woolly banks are very detailed in terms of that transaction of debt and payment, do you not think our Heavenly Father will be wishy-washy? Not at all. Plus, the Apostle Paul tells us that we must be transformed and not conformed to this world. You see, the Word of God in Romans chapter 12, let me read this to you, verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, how are we going to transform our mind if we don't know what sins we have? You see, when we confess our sins, in fact, I would encourage you to do is to write them down and keep track of it. Then you will go back the next day and say, wait a minute, these are the sins that I've committed, and they're not right. I've got to remove and transform it, change it. With what? With the truth of the Word of God, you see? For example, if you're not aware that you commit a sin of perhaps a doubt, and you let it get away with it, then the Holy Spirit that is inside you are not able to grow. Because you know why? You're not transformed. But all of a sudden, you confess the sin of doubt, and you say, wait a minute, I've got doubt and craftiness. This is not acceptable in the sight of God. We have to be honest, right? So then the next time around, when the demon of doubt and craftiness comes to you, then you say, you know what? I cannot afford to listen to that voice of the power of darkness. And I've got to change and resist those two demons and replace it with truth. You see? So sin's confessions are very useful. And it keeps us clean, just like you take a shower daily. So I do encourage you to check every day for your sins. The sins that you committed, you confess and ask the blood of Jesus to wash them clean. And the sins that you did not commit, you do not need to confess. That's crystal clear. That's common wisdom. Okay? But in order for the Holy Spirit to indwell our heart with absolute joy, we must practice confessions of our sins and repentance, not just from the lips, but from the heart and from our mind, so that we can receive the truth and throw away the lies of sin and transform it, just like the Apostle Paul says, according to the words of truth. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind according to the truth of the Word of God. Now, verse 35 says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. My dearly beloved, we cannot go looking like the devil into the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord God himself is absolutely holy, and he wants us to look like him as the bride joining the groom to enter not only in the house, which is our home, which is in heaven, but of course someday also in the marriage feast of the Lamb. So the servant or the slave, the Amplified Bible writes, abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. You see? And so he that hath the son has life. So we need to receive Jesus Christ in our heart and let Christ grow until we look like him. As we just read earlier in Romans 8:28-29, that we are predestined to conform to the image of his son. Verse 36, if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Perhaps you say, I'm still struggling with sin. Well, I'll tell you this way. If you confess each and every one of your sins and write them down daily and check through. Say, for example, today I confess the sins, and pay attention to those sins. And tomorrow, you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please help me to overcome them and replace it with truth of the Word of God. Be aware of it first. And then put that lie detector test that I mentioned by checking through with the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you cross-check with the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit and you make yourself aware of the sins that you have committed in the past, I can guarantee you, you have already began to know the truth. You see, it does take time to learn the truth and apply to yourself. And it takes the life of Jesus, the Holy Spirit in your heart, to begin to grow. But you must feed the Holy Spirit, you know, with the Word of God and begin acting upon it. And just like I said, if you confess your sins whenever you falter, then you allow the Holy Spirit to be able to breathe through and walk you through and begin to grow in you. And of course, you need to crucify your flesh. Just like the Word of God says, you must deny yourself and take up that cross. Means crucify yourself, your flesh especially, and your sinful habits. You need to delete that by the grace of God through faith in the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, later on, the Holy Spirit will transform you to look like Jesus. So it is very important for us to abide in the truth and to abide in Christ. In the past, if you have not known all of this truth, then now you will begin knowing this truth and begin applying to yourself. Now, my dearly beloved, it is now time to part once again. May the truth of the Word of God abide in your heart. May you begin to practice walking in the Spirit versus walking in your flesh. And may you remember that our ultimate end of the journey is to look like His Son. You see, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I pray that every one of you that hears this truth today will begin practicing by the grace of God through faith in Christ Jesus and cherishing the Holy Spirit in your heart and obeying the Holy Spirit to the finish line of our life. In Jesus' most precious name, I ask and pray for. Amen.